We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, what the hell's going to happen this weekend?
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
What's up, y'all? This is One Royal Way here on Kansas City Sports Network. My name is Joel Penfield. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Joining me tonight, Jared Perkins from Prospects Live, Major League University, and Royals Farm Report. A busy man with the draft guide coming out. Helped us a ton with that. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Ready to talk some crazy Royals baseball.
We got a lot to talk about here. We'll be right back. We got to hear from Kansas City Strength and Conditioning first, then we have a ton to get into here.
From the beginning, we knew right away that we wanted to do strength conditioning and a throwing program for the baseball and softball community. It wasn't something we were trying to back into or all of a sudden learn. We knew we were really good at these coaching these skills from the get-go. And the fact that we're in the same business and the employees are all on the same page, you know, we can write a program based off of what a kid needs, not just getting him stronger or faster from a general sense. It's what does this kid need? On the pitching end, we can say, hey, this kid needs such and such. He needs to do this or that better. A lot of times it turns out it's not something that needs to be fixed in the baseball cage or on the throwing mound. It actually needs to be fixed in the weight room.
Thank you, as always, Kansas City Strength and Conditioning for sponsoring this show. Be sure to go check them out if you have a baseball or softball player in the area, if they need a place to train. So Jared, along with a couple other guys, myself, we wrote the Royals Farm Report draft guide. It's 117 pages of draft content with top 100 prospect write-ups, getting ready, and our only mock draft as well, leading up to the MLB draft, which will be this Sunday. So be sure to go check that out. I believe Alex has the price down at like $2.22 now. So he's almost cut it in half from the $4 it was originally at. Go check it out. It's an incredible resource if you're a draft nerd and want to learn more about the future of the guys that could be in the Royals organization. And on Sunday, Josh and Alex, along with Mike and Marcus Mead of Royals Weekly, will be live from the Kingdom Bar and Grill, I believe starting at 6:30. I will not be there. I'll be driving back from a little vacation, but I'll hopefully be able to remote in when the Royals make their pick, but at the Kingdom Bar and Grill live, and it'll be on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, all that, just like the NFL draft. And we are doing a raffle similar to what the guys did for the NFL draft. If you Venmo $20 to KC Sports Network, and it's at KC Sports Network is the Venmo. You donate $20 to that. I believe it. You get a chance or $100 for 8 entries into the raffle for 4 lower level Royals tickets. I believe they're Diamond Club. a signed Bobby Witt Jr. baseball or a signed Alex Gordon jersey. They will all be entered in. If you donate $20 for one chance or $100 for eight, we are doing that live at 7 p.m. So it'll be right before the Royals pick at number 9. And that'll be on July 18th. And all proceeds are split 50-50 between the KCSN Foundation and the Royals RBI program, which let me get the official name for that if I can figure it out. Yeah, the Royals RBI program. So be sure to go and support a good cause, and you have a chance to win some cool stuff. So we'll have that. Now that the plugs are out of the way, holy crap, Jared. The Royals actually, they go and win 3 out of 4 against Toronto. Or not, they're heading to Toronto, but against Detroit. And then they even won 2 out of 3 against Cleveland. Despite getting shellacked on Saturday, they made it seem like they lost the series. They're playing good baseball. You know, they're starting to win some games. The younger guys are starting to get more acclimated. And an absolute bomb drop today. We knew there were going to be some players out. So if you don't know, if you were not vaccinated for COVID, then you cannot go into Canada and play. And teams have been hit by this. You know, a few players here and there. I think the most is like 4 or something like that. 4 players that go on the restricted list. They can't play in a series and they go. The Royals announced today they have 10 players that cannot play in Toronto because they're not vaccinated against COVID. The guys, you can go look at Jeff Passan's tweet, but the 10 names on this list are Andrew Benintendi, Whit Merrifield, MJ Melendez, Hunter Dozier, Brad Keller, Brady Singer, Michael A. Taylor, Kyle Isbell, Dylan Coleman, Cam Gallup. So 40% of the roster can't play in a 4-game series. So this means the Royals are essentially fielding the Omaha Storm Chasers in Toronto this week. I mean, I don't want to delve too far into the political, moral aspect of this. Like, that's just a rabbit hole I don't want to go down. And I know the people listening just want to try and stick to baseball as much as we can. So from a baseball perspective, what the hell? This is a situation that I knew that there were going to be some guys, and it'd probably be more than 4, but I didn't expect it to be 10 guys. And just as you start to get a little bit of momentum, I mean, you're probably going to go and get swept in 4 games at this point.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if they win 1 game.
Yeah. You think about the trade deadline implications too. It's like, they just made that great trade getting Drew Waters, Andrew Hoffman, and CJ Alexander from the Braves for their 35th overall pick in the draft. And so you're like, oh, there's excitement. There's momentum going. And then you see this happen and you see 3 of the names on that list being big potential trade candidates here at the deadline. And what Merrifield.
I've seen Brad Keller's name floated out there too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you think about teams like the biggest team that was talking about Benintendi was the Yankees and the Blue Jays. And those are 2 teams in the AL East, and one, Benintendi can't go to the Blue Jays now at this point. I mean, how is he going to play games there? So everybody wanted Jordan Groshans to come into town for Benintendi, and that's probably out the window now. And then you look at the Yankees, they got another series coming up in Toronto, and then if the playoffs hit, they're going to have to go back to Toronto potentially, as Toronto's still in the hunt. Even though they fired their manager, they're still in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and even with Merrifield too, like they're that takes out a whole division, you know, in a way. And Michael A. Taylor was looked at as a candidate for the Yankees because they want to try and get some combination of Giancarlo, Aaron Judge, and Aaron Hicks off their feet as the, you know, they get closer to the playoffs. I mean, Aaron Hicks is out, I think, about to head on the injured list with a shin injury. So it looked even better that they can make that trade. I don't know if that'll happen now because I don't know what Michael A. Taylor's willingness is to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Speaking of the willingness here, Whit Merrifield made some comments after the game when he was asked about this, and I don't have the quote pulled up in front of me, but he, you know, did the general, it was a personal decision. I, you know, did some research. I've talked to people, but I made the decision to not be vaccinated. That's his prerogative. I'm not going to judge anyone for it. Andrew Benintendi essentially said the same thing. And if he had stopped his statement right there, no one would have batted an eye. People still would have been pissed, but I don't think anyone would have thought anything of it. Until Whit Merrifield continues to talk, and he says, well, you know, some things may change. You know, if I end up on a, you know, on a playoff team and, you know, we got to play Toronto and I'll get back, maybe I'll consider it, which is just a massive slap in the face to his teammates who he said are support this decision. But in turn, he's also spitting in their face by saying, yeah, it's not worth me getting vaccinated. We're 20 below 500. Why should I care about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, to all the fans who supported him staying in town over these years at the trade deadline in the past. And it's hard because it's like, you look at Andrew Benintendi's statement, he was like, my choice, end of story. No one cared. No one's mentioning Andrew Benintendi in any of this because they're just like, that's his choice. Where Merrifield is like, well, if I play for a contender, my choice might change. And you're like, well,
that optically looks so bad.
Yeah.
It looks so bad. Now, do I resent him for being upset that he's been on losing ball clubs his entire career? Absolutely not.
No.
I wanted the Royals to go and trade him. And I know he wants to probably get traded at this point because he knows how much longer do I have in my career. I want to go play playoff baseball. And he should. But to do it that way, it looks horrendous on the organization that has given him so much and given him the opportunity and kept him around. And gave him an extension that no other team probably would have given him.
Yeah.
And for all that to be like, well, my vaccination status is subject to change if I end up on a playoff team.
Yeah.
It's awful.
And it sucks because everybody's always been behind Merrifield. Mm-hmm. I don't think a single Royals fan in the past has ever had any like ill will towards Whit Merrifield. I think fans have wanted him to get traded in deadlines past just because they weren't competing. But everybody always loved him in the clubhouse and just loved him as a leader of that clubhouse too. And just kind of to have this happen before the trade deadline, where you're kind of just trying to find someone in that clubhouse with Salvador Perez out to rally around that this is going to happen. And it's like right before the All-Star game. So Royals are going to go to Toronto, go play a series. I mean, Whit Merrifield's going to stay home. Do we even see Whit Merrifield play again in Kansas City?
I've thought about that a lot over the last couple of hours, and I think that Whit Merrifield's played his last game in Kansas City, and it was, and it's so weird that after playing 553 straight games, the streak is over in a game where he had to get pulled for an injury. I think it was like a turf toe or something like that, or whatever they called it. But it's kind of weird that for someone that played that many games in a row and manned the post for that long, for his last game, potentially for the team to be a game in which he was removed due to injury.
Yeah.
But I felt like the Royals were going to trade him over the next couple of weeks, let him get healthy, play a few games, show that he's healthy, and then trade him. I think at this point, the writing is on the wall that he has played his last game for the Royals. How can you put him back in the lineup after he's basically said, I want out?
Yeah.
He said it without saying it. Like he said the quiet part out loud that he wants out and that he doesn't want to be here.
Yeah. And he's kind of sort of hinted at it a little bit in the past, but this time he was just basically like, yeah, if I play for a contender and we're in the playoffs, like those things change, it'll change my decision on potentially what I'm going to do. And so it's just like, it's one of those things, like how can you have that guy and try to, if you're trying to move the page and move forward as an organization and you're trying to get to that next level and that next step, I mean, a guy, if he doesn't want to be there, it's hard to carry him around.
Yeah. I don't want to belabor the point too long. If you want another rant session, just come find me on Twitter and we can go in the DMs and just go to town. But if there is any silver lining to this, as guys that cover the minor leagues and love the prospect side of baseball too, we get to see some debuts coming up because of the because it's a restricted list. It's not, there's no like massive 40-man shuffling that's going to occur. It's going to be guys that are just available and vaccinated that can go play. So it looks likely that guys like Michael Garcia, who's been a double-A shortstop and really good, one of the better guys in the system this year, he was on the taxi squad for this series, likely to go to Toronto and play. Looks like possibly Nick Prado. He wasn't in the lineup for Omaha on Tuesday. We're recording this on Wednesday, so it's a day early. Things might change from the time me talking about this, but Michael Massey, Nate Eaton, Brewer Hicklin, guys like Brad Peacock, Angel Zerpa, a few other pitchers are probably going to see some time because who the hell knows how the pitching is going to work out since Singer and Keller can't pitch and Coleman can't pitch. I don't know. Like it's going to be Greinke, Lynch, if you can hopefully get a start out of him after the blister finger injuries. And then it's kind of up in the air. I don't know what we're going to see. There's a little bit of me that is excited just because we get to see some of these younger guys really get an opportunity in weird circumstances, but they're getting an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that, for me, I want getting the opportunity to see Brewer Hickenlund for the second time. I know he struggled a little bit in his debut and has struggled in AAA with the strikeouts, but kind of one of the best all-around dudes you can have in a clubhouse. And he just comes and plays hard every single day. He's got a great blend of power and speed. And just being able to see him get another shot in the big leagues, I mean, there's a good chance he starts in the outfield in this series. And so it'll be exciting to see him out there and potentially playing and get some ABs at the big league level.
Yeah, he got a couple ABs. I believe it was in Minnesota when Michael A. Taylor went on the COVID list initially. I think he went like 0 for 5 with a few strikeouts. I don't know if he ever got any hits yet. So it's a good opportunity to see a bunch of guys that are a part of the future of this team that are going to get an opportunity they likely wouldn't have had otherwise. Now, here's the interesting part of this. You think anyone gets Wally Pipped out of this?
In what sense?
Like the other, like, Hey, the best kind of ability is availability, and these guys show out in a 4-game set that they're ready to go. Like, say Nick Prado goes and hits 3 home runs this weekend and plays a great first base or left field, wherever you want to put him, and basically just proves that he's ready. Or Michael Massey just comes up and just lights the world on fire and looks like the hitter we think he can be to, you know, maybe show, hey, maybe he's the heir apparent to Nicky Lopez, and who knows what Nicky Lopez is. Who's seen his playing time lessen over the last couple of weeks.
Put pressure on those guys that are already up there. I mean, and it gives that, and if those guys perform, the Royals have more incentive to trade the other guys that they have on the block. And it can push Merrifield, Benny, and Taylor out the door a little sooner than expected. Because if Prado and Massey come up and they just start mashing, Royals are going to be like, oh, wait, we got something here. And so maybe you could see Merrifield out the door, like we said, before the All-Star game's even over. And so there's potential options and hopeful options there that some of those guys can come up and show up and play.
Yeah, I think there's a really good opportunity here to see something like that. And I don't know if it ever will. I mean, the Royals are the Royals, and they're going to go more often to the veteran than they will to the young player unless they absolutely force their hand. And I hope we see a couple of these guys force their hand in the way that I think they can. What I really wanted to start this episode with before this happened today was the trade that they made on Monday. And you alluded to it a little bit, Jared, that the Royals traded for 3 prospects from the Braves organization, CJ Alexander, who is a 26-year-old shortstop in AA. A lot of power, a lot of swing and miss. I don't know I think this was kind of just a lottery ticket that was added to this. I don't know what kind of big league future, if any, he has, but certainly the power is interesting here. Andrew Hoffman, who was a draft pick last year, I believe he was making his first outing with Northwest Arkansas tonight on Wednesday, and he looks very intriguing, nice amount of deception, and it varies his timing, good secondaries, certainly some good clay to work with, you know, moving forward for the Royals, and something he gives a look that the Royals really don't have in a pitcher, so that's worth something. The big piece in this was Drew Waters. Previously has been as high as like a top 30 prospect in baseball, switch hitting center fielder, good speed, good all around tools, kind of fell off prospect rankings a little bit last year, really, really, really struggled in AAA with strikeouts and contact, but a guy that certainly has all the tools to be the big league center fielder of the future as early as next year. And they traded all of this for the 35th overall pick, which is their competitive balance round pick, which is like the sandwich round in between round 1 and round 2. And it's given to smaller market teams as just an extra pick and an opportunity to get more players in their system because they can't pay for teams the way that the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers can. So it's just something that Major League Baseball does for competitive balance. And that's a pick you can trade. You can't trade your first overall pick, or your first round pick, but the sandwich picks between the first and second round and second round and third round, you can trade. The Tigers did this recently with the Rays, trading their sandwich pick for Austin Meadows. They gave away Isak Paredes and their sandwich pick. So certainly interesting. I didn't know that those types of trades could happen, but I'm really excited about Drew Waters. This is a great play for the Royals to go and get a guy because they know how good the hitting development is right now. And you give this guy about a month with Drew Saylor, and I really believe we are looking at a guy that could come in and play in the big leagues for the last month of the year, just see what he's got. And you go into 2023 and you have the center fielder that you didn't have before, like a young guy. And he's only 23. He's come up, you know, people are kind of out on him and prospect rankings don't really have him anymore. you know, in their top 100, but he's only 23. There's still a lot of runway here. There's a lot of tools to like. He's shown some really good stuff early on with the first few games in Omaha. I think this is a slam dunk deal for the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, when Waters is looking at plus speed, plus defense, plus power, I mean, the hit tool is the one concern that everybody talks about. I think he strikes out close to a 30% rate. And I think he just needed a change of scenery too, though. With all the outfielders that the Atlanta Braves have had, he's been kind of blocked for playing time. And I think that's the one thing the Royals need, as you mentioned earlier. They need a center fielder. And he has the defensive ability, the arm, to stick in center field and be a potential like really good gold glove type center fielder.
And he can fly too.
Yeah, he's fast. He is super fast. And it's just, it's going to be let Drew Saylor and company do their work. That's what they're there for. That's why they've had all the success with all the other hitters in the minor leagues. And you're going to trust your player development on that side because it's been successful. And so that kind of deal for the Royals, I mean, bringing in a guy like Drew Waters, like you said, that's been a top 30 prospect. I mean, that's huge for a 35th overall pick. I know there's potential to have some really good picks there. And Royals have used that kind of as a, when they've bought low on, in their first round pick, and they've kind of overspent on that competitive balance. But this is an opportunity for them to get a really, really good player and some other two good players to couple with that in Andrew Hoffman and CJ Alexander. Alexander cut his strikeout rate by 20%, and he has had double-digit homers and double-digit steals right now. Yeah, he's a little older for double A, but still, there's some potential there. And again, when you're trying to get everybody to work with Drew Saylor and company on the hitting side, you got CJ Alexander and Drew Waters now.
Yeah, this is great process by the Royals, and not a move that, well, I think the biggest thing is that I think Royals fans have floated Drew Waters in in trade mocks and all that stuff for Andrew Benintendi, or you trade a reliever for him and just kind of you try and get him away. And now they actually got him. They didn't have to give up anybody, and you still kind of have an opportunity to take a look at the market for a Benintendi, a Taylor, a Witt, and see where you're at, and you still go and get this guy. And it's going to make, by trading the 35th pick, now the draft is going to be super interesting, because there was a lot of talk, and something Alex and I and Josh and I talked about, something Jared and I have talked about away off screen, that, you know, the Royals, there's a pretty good chance the Royals under slot number 9 and go and get a good player. It's not like they're being cheap, but they're going and getting a player, and then they try and spend a little more with that 35th pick or the 49th pick. Now I think there's a bigger chance that the Royals actually just go for best player available and go and spend that full slot and go and allocate resources elsewhere. So it makes the draft look a lot more interesting, and I'm kind of excited for it. I would much rather the Royals go and get a Jace Young, or if God forbid Elijah Green falls to 9 and you just go make that move for the best player rather than trying to play slot games and, you know, banking on something. I just think it's a more surefire way to go and get the best player. So I think trading the 35th pick is kind of a blessing, because it gives the Royals an opportunity to just go get a really good player and not feel like they need to play games to go and get a couple.
Yeah. And I think the other more difficult part about this draft too, is a lot of the high school guys are asking for a ton of money. I was getting some insights from someone who works in the baseball field and saying a lot of these high school kids are wanting a ton of money just with the way college baseball is working now. A lot of them want to go to campus. I think Joe Doyle even tweeted out from Prospects Live that there's a chance that Holiday, Green, or Jones might potentially be stepping foot on campus. So you look at those top three high school kids that could potentially be going on campus. I mean, that changes your draft strategy, especially when you start looking down into the 35th pick. And so if they can get one of those big major bats in the 9th overall pick and get the best player available, if someone like Cam Collier falls to them, they sign him for the slot. They can sign him for the slot. They don't have to worry about their 35th overall pick.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to end up being. The Royals are still super unpredictable. Like if you've seen a guy mock to the Royals, very good chance that the Royals are not going to take that guy. So I still don't know how it's going to be, but it makes the strategy a lot different. I don't know what to make of it, but I'm excited for what Drew Waters is going to bring. I really think he has a good chance to be the center fielder of the future for this team. I absolutely and wholeheartedly trust Drew Saylor to figure it out with these guys. Yeah. If you go and look at what the Royals had in 2019, just go look at the offensive stats for damn near everybody in the organization. And now go look in 2022. I think Alex tweeted it that the Royals had 10 guys that had a weighted runs created plus of 100, which is league average or better. It means they had 10 or guys that were at league average or a little better.
Insane.
And that, and it wasn't any of the Prado, the Melendez, the Suli, the Bobby Witt Jr. It was none of them. Like, yeah. I think honestly, of any qualified hitter over like 150, 200 plate appearances, I think Vinny Pasquantino had the best weighted runs created plus in the organization.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane what they've done, and you have to love it.
For perspective, they now have 23 guys.
Yeah, now you just want them to get someone on the pitching side.
And maybe they'll figure that out. I'm not going to delve into that. Alex Jordan and I talked a little bit about that on the last episode of Royals Farm Report, so you can go check that out. But at least injects a little bit more excitement.
Yeah,
it just gives us something a little more interesting to talk about. And then I'm curious what some of the trade packages look like. It's a huge draft and trade deadline to go and kind of replenish the system. Now that Vinny and MJ, now Nick Prado's coming up here soon, that was like the top end of what made the Royal system so good and a top 7-8 system in baseball. It's down like the, you know, the high, you know, 10 to or like 15 to 18 now, or I've even seen it down to like 20 or 21 just that fast by those three or four guys like Bobby Wood Jr. and others leaving. So you have an opportunity to replenish that and get it back into the upper half of baseball. And I hope they can do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some potential great options out there. Look at the Padres. That is a team that they could trade with. You got guys like James Wood, Robert Gasser, who over there, who could make a good package that you could put together in order to send Benintendi. So there's a lot of options. I mean, the Blue Jays, of course, are now out of the question, but you still could potentially see Michael A. Taylor going to the Yankees. There's a chance that they would take a shot at him. I think I read somewhere a tweet that they were saying that it shouldn't make too big of an impact on the trade deadline. I think a lot of teams probably already have some of these insights. So there's options out there. There's tons of prospects. As we read an article the other day, that's Benintendi's trade market's hotter than any player probably out there on the
especially with Brian Reynolds getting hurt in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's probably the best outfield option out there right now.
Easily. And teams need outfielders going into the end of the season. And so, I mean, gosh, there's going to be so many options for them. They have to maximize at this deadline. This is probably one of the easiest deadlines that the Royals could maximize their profit.
I sure hope that they actually do it. I don't know. But the next couple of weeks is certainly going to be interesting now. And if you're looking to take your crew out to the K this summer, be sure to check out our friends at Tickets for Less. Ticketsforless.com has the best selection of tickets to all your favorite sporting events, concerts, and shows, including the Royals. Tickets for Less never charges per ticket fee, saving you big time over other sites out there. You can even use our exclusive partner code at checkout. You can save even more. Simply enter code KCSN22 when ordering your seats at ticketsforless.com. That code again is KCSN22. We are going to take a short break and we will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
So I think one of the biggest things that I enjoyed from the last couple of days watching the Royals was on Monday when they swept the doubleheader against the Tigers. The second game of the doubleheader, they gave Andrew Benintendi a break, and Witt was already out, so they didn't really have a leadoff hitter. They gave Michael A. Taylor the break as well, because I'm pretty sure he, Jose Canseco himself, position player pitching on Saturday. And they put MJ Melendez in the leadoff spot, and Bobby Witt Jr. playing shortstop, hitting second, and then Vinny Pasquantino third. And it worked out really nicely, I'd say. Bobby Witt Jr. hits a four-hit game. Vinny gets a couple of hits. MJ goes 2-for-4 with a couple of walks. Vinny had a couple of walks, too. It's almost like putting the young guys in there. It works because they're your best players.
Yeah. But they didn't want to put all the pressure on him. So.
No, he didn't want to put too much pressure on him. Can't bat him cleanup, except maybe his third game in the big leagues. Then you can bat Vinny Pasquantino cleanup.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you want to see. That's exciting about the Royals team. I know all the frustrations throughout the entire season have been because of the win-loss record, dealing with some of the managerial issues. But when you watch those guys play, it's exciting. You watch MJ Melendez at the top of the lineup, who's got some decent speed for a catcher, and you watch Bobby Witt, who's going to be probably your cornerstone player for the next few years. And Vinny Pasquantino now, he looks like another Kendrys Morales, basically, and you watch him in the box. And it's, you got more to come. You got Prado, you got Massey, you got a ton of bats here already for the future. And if you can't get excited about it as a Royals fan and see the top, those three guys at the top of the lineup, I mean, that's just fun to watch every single day.
And I love MJ in the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
He is a patient enough of a hitter. There's obviously some swing and miss there that he's still working through and kind of working to not chase balls in the top half of the zone, but you know, he's going to work a good count. He is your prototypical leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
Which you would not expect out of a catcher, but he's a supreme athlete. And I think it really works nicely for what this team is. I think eventually, once he gets a little more comfortable, I think Bobby Witt Jr. is a really good candidate to be a leadoff hitter. It could be like a George Springer, you know, ambush type guy at the top of your lineup that could work really nicely. And he's starting to kind of figure things out at the plate and really start to be more consistent, which is nice. I feel so bad for Vinny at times, man, because if you'll go look on Baseball Savant and you'll see like, they have like their leaderboards for like swing and miss and velo and distance hit and exit velocity. And you're looking, he has like two or three of the hardest hit balls of the night and he's 0-for-4. And it's like, what does this man need to do to buy a hit? And it's getting there. And I think people are realizing that. And I mean, he had a great, great doubleheader day, you know, with the home run against Michael Pineda and the first pitch of the second, it was second at bat in the fourth inning, which is the exact same scenario that happened in his first at,
loves Michael first Pineda over,
baseball. Like, he owns him. Like he had the go ahead hit too in that first game. So there's a lot to like here. And Kyle Isbell had three hits in the loss on Wednesday or on a Tuesday, but you know, what are you going to do? Yeah. And when he actually plays consistently and gets consistent at bats, it's almost like he plays really well. When you go and play him twice a week or pinch hit for him, he's not that good. He's a guy that really needs that regular at bats. And when he got those at the end of last year, he was really good after coming back from Omaha. So I think he is another guy that's going to benefit when Benintendi, Witt, and Michael A. Taylor are traded, because the opportunity for legitimate regular at bats are going to be there. And when you put him in the lineup every single day, you at least know what you have with him. I don't know if you're able to find that if you don't play him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, looking at that outfield in the future, having Prado, Isbell, and Olivares, and then maybe Drew Waters here in the potential near future if he can figure things out. I mean, that's nice. That's exciting.
I think, Olivares is, you know, kind of cooled off a little bit from the hot start that he had, but I think he fills his role really nicely as a fourth outfielder. I think that's his role in the big leagues. Yep. When I scouted him in the Texas League in 2019, I kind of felt the same way that, hey, there's a valuable bat there, but I don't think it's an everyday guy. And I think that's kind of being proven, but that's not a knock on him. Dude's cashing big league checks playing twice a week. Go get your money. Go play pro ball. That's the good stuff there. Any final thoughts on anything that you saw this week or on the field, not what we saw at 5 o'clock today?
No, I think the big thing is, too, is just watching some of the pitchers kind of getting their own. Brad Keller has looked good. Brady Singer has looked really good the last couple of starts. And it's just nice to see those guys, despite the Cal Eldred issues that we all know exist, to have some success and be able to kind of develop themselves in the rotation. It's great seeing Zach Greinke back out there healthy. Don't know how long he lasts as a Royal, but it's just good to see some success from that rotation, see some winning records happening in the last few games, and just having the ability to give those young guys that playing time and see Espel out there and see Bobby Witt Jr. out there and all those guys just to have that time. And so Bobby Witt Jr. even said it in interviews before. He goes, I start learning from every single at-bat that I get. And that's how these young guys, they're going to have their struggles, but the way that they're going to learn is to get those plate appearances. And if the Royals keep doing that and keep giving them those opportunities, then they're going to be able to adjust, and they're going to adjust faster and quicker than just sitting down in AAA.
And I think the same goes on the defensive side, too. I think Bobby Witt Jr. has really struggled at shortstop the last couple of games. The entire defense had a rough night on Tuesday. Miguel Cabrera stole third.
Yeah.
Miguel Cabrera,
yep,
who is 58 years old, stole third base.
Yep.
Now, some of that was Jose Quas was not paying attention and his delivery is slow, but MJ still threw down and airmailed the throw, and he scored. Guarantee that will never happen again. I know people are freaking out about MJ's metrics behind the plate. We have 3.5, 4 years of data in the minors that he was one of the best defensive catchers there. Really good receiving, great, you know, throwing out, you know, throw down numbers, you know, caught stealing numbers. And Bobby has a ceiling of a Gold Glove caliber defender. Sometimes it's just doing a little too much. Sometimes it's just learning at the big league level. Ball jumps on you a little bit. There is no reason to be freaking out about these guys' defense now. Now, if by this time next year, we're still seeing some of these same hiccups, we can have a conversation. But I'm going to take so much of this with a grain of salt and just let them – I'm okay with them just being in the lineup and getting in the everyday run that they deserve to be getting, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
So this will be a little bit of a shorter episode this week. I don't have a ton, frankly. I'll go into this a little bit, and we can talk a little draft. But congrats to Andrew Benintendi for getting his first All-Star appearance. Good for him, and he'll be wearing a Royals uniform and then probably promptly traded. They don't want to trade him before he wears a Royals uniform in the All-Star game, because I don't think they want another Ken Harvey situation.
I mean, hey, it's gonna be exciting. He's deserved it. He's really turned it around since he's come over from Boston after the struggles that he had there, and it's really nice to see. And he's not gonna be a Royal much longer. I think there was some hopes when they got him over in that trade with Franchi that they would be able to sign him to an extension, but they got what they wanted out of him. They have a chance to turn him into some really good value here at the deadline, and so you can't be disappointed with the Andrew Benintendi era, whether if he gets traded. So
looking at the draft on Sunday, last time we had you on, we talked a little bit about it, but now that we're getting a little closer, I think we can try and nail down some predictions or try and be definitive. But what do you see the Royals doing? I mentioned a little bit when I was talking about the trade that the 35th pick is gone, that I think they're going to go full slot.
Yeah.
Do you think that they go that? Do you really think they go that route, or are they going to try some BS?
I think so. I mean, I don't know what they'd be able to underslot at round two. I mean, I know that pick's not too far off from the 35th, but you're still looking at like 15 slots there potentially. I have to assume that they go best player available, and they just try to pay. I mean, I don't know if Cam Collier falls. If he does, that they have to go that route. You'd think they would have to go that route. But I would love to see a college bat, as I mentioned last time, Jace Jung, Gavin Cross, Jacob Berry, someone who's polished, who's going to be ready in the next couple of years to participate in this team that's already going to have a stacked lineup. It would just be nice to have another bat there. We know how the development is on the arm side, so just kind of seeing the arms available this year in this draft, they're not the best. They're not exciting. And in just knowing the Royal system in terms of developing pitching, you just kind of want to see them avoid that.
Yeah, it's nothing against any of the pitchers in this draft. It's just I just don't trust the Royals at this point to be able to develop and get the most out of them until there is significant developmental changes and coaching changes at all levels to be able to get the pitchers. So I would much rather them go premium bat. It could be prep. It could be college. I don't really care. I think there's going to be enough options at 9, especially if the slot games get interesting with some of these other teams. if the signability of some of these high school guys is going to be questionable, Baltimore could really throw a wrench into it and go like Heston Kerstad again, like they did, or Colton Cowser, like they did, and kind of be like the guy that, like, why the heck are they picking him here? I think there's a pretty good scenario where they do that.
Yeah.
And where, unless they, I know, but the last time they had one, they picked Adley. And so they just went with the BPA. So they could do that again. Or do they just play games and they go and try and get Cam Collier 1-1 and try and get him and see if they can underslot him there?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an interesting draft too, because I think the Mets probably threw a wrench in the draft as well, because they have 2 first-round picks, I believe. Yep. And so it's just like, they can easily underslot. So if they wanted to take, like, I think they're 11th. If they took like a guy like Justin Crawford at 11, they could still overpay someone at, like, I think they have a pick, 7 picks in between 11. I think they're like 11 and 18 or something like that.
Yeah.
But they throw a wrench into the whole entire thing too. And it's, you got everybody and their brother as a high schooler committed to LSU. And then you got that factor.
Or they're transferring to LSU.
Yeah. They're transferring to LSU or they're committed to LSU. And you got the factor of the NIL or the playing a different role now, and so all these high school kids are asking for a ton of money. Who knows where these guys fall in the draft? I mean, you got what, 4 of the 5 top 5 are all high school kids who could potentially go to campus. So I don't know what kind of role that's going to play, what kind of insights these teams have on whether they're signable or not. That's going to just make a complete mess of make chaos on draft day, because you don't know what's going to happen in the first 5.
Yeah, I mean, for the Royals to go and get Jace Young, who I think will be there at 9, you basically need to bank on the 4 main prep guys, Tamar Johnson, Elijah Green, Jackson Hall, and Drew Jones going. Kevin Parada. Who else? Cam Collier, who I think is going to be gone. Brooks Lee.
Gavin Cross potentially could go before.
He could. I don't know. Jacob Berry could.
Zach Nito.
Zach Nito's getting a lot of helium right now. I think he's going to end up in the top 10.
Chase DeLauder, probably not so much.
No, if he didn't break his foot, I think so.
Yeah.
If there was an underslot option, I would love to see if you can try and get him underslot, which I think you probably could, because he'd probably get that same amount of money at 21. So it's, you know, the cachet of going 9th, and you're still going to get a really good player, but I would love, like, I think Chase Young is about as slam dunk as they get with the hitters in this class that you're going to get at 9. And Jacob Berry's the same way. But I think that there's defensive questions with Chase Young for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's even more with Jacob Berry that I don't think the Royals are going to take a chance on. Despite him probably being the best pure hitter in this class.
Yeah.
I think that is going to be a legitimate problem, because I don't know if they want to have another guy like Vinny Pasquantino that they just want to try and stick the bat in the lineup. And some other lefty. I don't know. Because I think they are going to try and find a bat. At least I hope they're going to try and find a bat that you can plug into the lineup by the end of 2023 or the beginning of 2024. Yeah. And there's your core right there.
Yeah. I mean, the good news about, like, Gavin Cross is he's above average defensively. And outfield, he could fill a hole or a void there too. I think there's some, I think I was, when I was reading on some of the scouting reports on him, I was hoping to go see him this year, but he has the ability to stick in center field too. So if they're looking for another potential center field prospect to have in the system, Cross could play that role.
So do you have an official pick, or are you going Gavin Cross? Or
Gavin Cross is the guy I've been leaning on this entire time. I'm just going to stick with Gavin Cross.
Yeah. I'll stick with Jace Young, but if it's Gavin Cross, I won't be upset.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a little bit of a lower ceiling there, at least from a hitter's perspective.
I agree. Yeah.
Gavin Cross is bad at ball data, stupid. In fact, he was able to cut down on strikeouts. Is nice. I just think Young is a better all-around hitter. Mm-hmm. And if he's there, I think you run to the podium and you make that pick.
Yeah, you don't even take any time off the clock.
Not at all. It would be. It's like when the Lions took Aiden Hutchinson in the NFL draft. Like, they just put their pick in 45 seconds later because they knew they were getting their guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a feeling that Jung's going to go before Cross, maybe, but I could be wrong. I just, like you said, I think the bat's a lot better in a team. I know a team, there's going to be a team that's going to really want to take him, I think.
Yep, I agree. So one final thing, Royals topic before we get out of here. What was your favorite moment from the first half?
Favorite moment from the first half. I have to say, like, the Vinny Pasquantino debut, just because the hype was there for so long. And it was there longer than it should have been. And then to finally get to see him watch him play, that was awesome. It's just, he's like, you watch him in interviews and he just seems like a down to earth, great dude.
He's the best clubhouse.
And it was just awesome to see him. And I actually think the Brewer Hicklin debut was one of my favorites too, because he's just another overall just amazing human being. And just to be able to see those guys get those opportunities and get those chances, those are the highlights you're looking for this season, because you know you're not going to get too much outside of that.
I would definitely say, like, I was there on opening day, and I froze my ass off to watch Bobby Witt Jr.'s debut with my dad. Awesome. So that was cool, because it was my first opening day. It was my dad's first opening day. So that was a cool moment, like father-son moment for us, but God, it was so cold. I think the Vinny debut meant more to me because of the relationship and friendship I've been able to develop with Vinny off the field after interviewing him in 2020. And to go from, hey, this dude's pretty good, to, holy crap, this dude's a big leaguer, to, there is no way this dude isn't and is a part of the future in like a year, 18-month period, has been really cool to see his journey from 11th round pick to then turning himself into a top 100 prospect to making his debut and becoming a part of the future of the Kansas City Royals and becoming a fan favorite like immediately. Yeah. There was less of a crowd, I think, on that Tuesday than there was on opening day, it was about similar. And his reception and standing ovation was the same as Bobby's. That tells you anything about the way Royals fans feel about Vinny. They love this dude and they want to see him on this team. So I think that was really cool, because it was an unassuming Tuesday against the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
And the crowd was awesome for his debut. So I thought that was awesome. And that was probably, I think the Vinny debut meant a little more to me than Bobby, because we all knew Bobby was going to be a big leaguer.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of when. I don't think any of us ever really predicted, even last year, that Vinny would be not only make his debut, but get the type of hype that he got for his debut.
Yeah. 11th rounder to standing ovation. Like, that's awesome. For your debut, that's
results be damned. He hit into a double play first pitch, but that was incredible. Before I get you out of here, I don't believe I've asked you this question yet. I try and get all guests that come on with me to at least answer this once. But if you had taken a bat at the K, what would your walk up song be?
Oh man, walk up song. That one, I think. Man, I'm trying to think of the one I had, or one I really wanted when I was in college, when I was working for a college baseball team and really wanted to play, but wasn't good enough. I think I had, gosh, this is like a hard question. This is like the hardest question I've gotten all night. Wow. I don't even know the answer to this one.
You gotta give me something.
I think I had,
I've had two people try and tell me like, oh, I'll get you next time. No, we're doing this right now.
Yeah. I'd have to, I cannot think of the song name. I have it in my head, but I just can't think of it.
I'm not going to make you sing for all to listen to. so next time I get you on, I need you to figure out what song it is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I got to find it. It was Evan Longoria's walk-up song. Hold on, let me look that up. I got it. Down and Out by Tantric. That was the one I really loved.
Okay. All right, I dig it.
That song is sweet. That song gets me every time.
All right, Jared, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I appreciate it. Royals fans, appreciate you sticking with me for the first half of the season. It's going to be interesting what happens in Toronto over the weekend, but stick with us. Be sure to join us either at the Kingdom Bar and Grill or live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook. Tuck's got it all figured out. And stick with us for the MLB draft. We'll be live for the first three picks, or first two picks now, at 9 and at 49. And break them all down. And I will not be there live, but I'm going to be on at some point whenever I get back from my little vacation. So we'll talk to you all then. Appreciate it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.